In the book of Mark, chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, this morning we'll be considering the feeding of the 5,000, but to begin with, I want to consider verses 30 to 33 here. It says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him." Years ago, I remember I was talking to some older preachers, and the subject of vacations came up. I'll never forget, I mentioned how that me and my family, we always, growing up, my grandfather, we would all get together, my grandfather, my aunts, my uncle. We would get together and we would go to the coast on a vacation. I mentioned that. It's one of my great memories growing up. Going on vacation. I really enjoyed that. And I remember Brother Jackson, Brother Paul Jackson. You remember how he was? He kind of had his opinion. He said, "I never go on vacation." I don't know if he was kidding around about that, or I don't know if that was true. I never checked in on him. I don't know. Of course, if he didn't, he's getting some good rest now, isn't he? Whether you take a vacation every year or not, I think there's a good thing to do occasionally. And some people seem like they're on vacation all the time. They don't work. They don't do anything. They're just on vacation all the time. But that's not right. But here we find the apostles. You remember, they've been sent forth. Back there in Mark chapter 6 and verses 7 through 13 there. Jesus had sent out the 12. Now, here in verse 30, the apostles come back. They're talking to Jesus and they're telling him, they're giving him report. What they've done and what they've been teaching. Jesus, one of the things that we've seen in this passage is one who had great compassion on people. And he says to them, he says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many who were coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. I mean, these guys were busy. They were busy doing the work of the Lord. And he says, come, you need to set yourself apart. You need to, as someone once said, come apart before you fall apart. And there is a danger in the work of the Lord. And that is something that's called burnout. And our Lord recognized that. Sadly, too many people in our day probably rust out before they'll burn out. But there's a danger on either side. We don't want to get so busy that we don't have time to eat. In other words, get so busy in the ministry that we neglect taking care of ourselves. We have to have time to take care of ourselves. Bodily exercise profiteth little. He didn't say it doesn't profit at all. You see. We have to take care of ourselves. You've got to find time to eat. You need rest. You need leisure. And that's the principle that we find here. Jesus is fully God, but at the same time, he's fully man. And so he understands where they're coming from. As God, he never tired. As God, he never got hungry. But guess what? As man, he did. He did tire. He did get hungry. They come back and they're all excited about everything that's going on. He says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. And that's a good principle. Regardless of what you do, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a missionary, whether you're a welder or cook or whatever it is you might be, a teacher. Whatever it is you're doing in life, take a break. Take a break. Go on vacation. Get some rest. It'll do you good. It'll do you good. It's not a crime. It's not a crime. I remember that conversation with those preachers, and you know, like I said, I don't know whether Brother Jackson was joking or not. But I remember trying to encourage him. You ought to go on vacation every once in a while. You know? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I encourage men and women, people, to go off. Rest a while. Rest a while. Refresh yourselves. Refresh yourselves. Praise God that our Lord understood this. And I believe he still understands it even in our day. Even in this late hour that we live. For us to get apart into a desert place. Get apart into, go away, spend some time with your family. Go away and spend some time alone. Whatever the case may be. And what do they do? Well, they had all this stuff going on. Verse 31, the people were coming and going. They had no leisure. I mean, think back to the way it was at this point in their ministry. There was fame of who Jesus was and who they were. The miracles, the healings, the casting out of demons, the preaching, the teaching, all of the demands. We don't have all that going on today. At least not the healings and so on. Jesus is not here in the flesh. But certainly we ought to pay attention to people coming and going. Verses 32 and 33, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. They departed into a desert place by ship privately. So there were other people that were there coming and going and all that sort of thing, but they left privately. Their plans were defeated, weren't they? While they left privately, it was not private where they were going. And so as they left, people could see where the boat was going. They could see where the ship was traveling to. And so, if you can imagine this in your mind's eye as you read the text, the people, in their excitement, they said, there goes Jesus, there goes his apostles, let's follow. So they did, along the shoreline. They followed however way they could. Who can blame them? Wouldn't you want to? Wouldn't you want to be where they were? Verse 34, when he came out, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion. Not aggravation. Not anger. Moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Jesus is our great model in all of this. You know, his plans, as it were not carried out. He had told the apostles, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. That was the intention from a human standpoint. This was what they were going to do. But that's not what happened, is it? He didn't get angry or upset at the failed plans or the inability to rest. But rather, he was moved with compassion as he saw the people, because they were as sheep without a shepherd. I think we need to think about this for a little bit. I know it's exciting to move on down to the feeding of the 5,000, but let us consider this for a moment. You and I, regardless of our status in life. Not everybody here is pastor of the church. Not everybody here is preacher. But every one of us is, to some extent, a real representative of Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is, there are people that you come into contact with that I may never see. People that you come into contact with who may never come into this building. And to them, you are the only representative of Jesus Christ, the only representative of this church that they will ever see, perhaps in their entire life. How quickly do we become disturbed or upset when our plans are changed or our plans are disturbed because of somebody else who may come into our life with a need. When our rest or our sleep is disturbed, just going along with this same idea here, perhaps a phone call or a text comes in late in the night. Hey friend, I know you're a Christian and I've got this problem. I need this advice, or I've got this terrible thing going on in my life and I'd like for you to pray for me. The phone dings. We roll over, look at the text. How often do we look at it and say, well, that's so-and-so from work. I'll bother with it tomorrow. It's late. I don't want to mess with that now. And put it away. Someone who comes and wants to talk. And you've got other things to do. We think about those things in business. The other day, the guy came from the roofing company. I recently had my roof. And they put a new roof on my house because of some wind damage and hail damage. They got it all done with the exception of two things. And those two things needed to be taken care of. And so the guy came to my house to take care of that. And I had some questions for him. But as soon as he got there, a phone call came in. So he answered the phone call. So he was on that phone call for over 15 minutes at my house. He ended the phone call. And keep in mind, all the time he's talking, all the time he's there, I'm supposed to be working my job. And so I've had to make arrangements for my work and all of that sort of thing. He apologized for being on the phone, which is fine. I appreciated the apology. And then I started into asking him questions, and he says, "Sorry, man, can we make this quick? I've got to be down the road." Wait a minute. You've been in my house talking to someone else for the last 15 minutes, and now you don't want to talk to me. How does that make you feel? It made me feel pretty rotten. Same thing in the doctor's office. You know, I like the doctors that come in and sit face to face towards you. But you know, there are doctors who come and they sit down to a computer and this is the way they come in. "How's it going? And looking here at your chart, Mr. Green," and they don't really have a conversation with you because they're having a conversation with the computer screen with their back towards you. And in and out they go. 5-10 minutes maybe. And they don't take time to spend with the patient because all you are is a number. And when you ask them a question, you act like you've inconvenienced their whole day. That's the way it is in the business world. But bringing it back to us, bringing it back to the text, Jesus gives us a good example here. He came to do the Father's business. You and I, we are still in God's business. People are our business. We need to be willing to give people time and attention where we can, as much as is earthly possible. We see that he had compassion toward them. He had compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. How would they know? How would they know anything except they be taught? And oh, there's some things that people will never know except we teach them. And so, in the process of him teaching these people, we come to verse 38. And let's read down, verse 35. And we'll read down to verse 44. When the day was now far spent, no rest. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." You know, bear in mind, this was no planned picnic. Nobody brought food. They were following Jesus and the apostles into this desert place. And here they are. Jesus has been teaching them. It's late in the day. He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" He saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. The 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. They took up, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So, as it became later and later in the day, you know, and the disciples were noticing what time it was and the lateness of the day, they made it a logical suggestion. Send them away so that they can go get some food. Everybody's hungry. We don't have anything. There's nothing here. And so Jesus gives this command, this weird command. Verse 37, his answer to them is, "Give ye them to eat." Now, they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth?" Or in the original, that's denarius, that's their coinage that they use. They said, do we go and we go and buy some and bring it back to give them to eat? Think of how it would be here if we had an unplanned gathering. A bunch of people. Well, even right now. If we got into a big service, and the preaching went well over what it normally does, there's not really enough food back there to even feed this group. What are we going to do? Should we go down to the dollar store? Buy some food? You know? We'd probably do something like that. It makes sense. But Jesus had other plans. He says unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see. When they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Now what Mark records here is enough, but John's gospel gives us some more information. And I want us to go over there, over in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Beginning at verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? I love the way that John really gives us these details. Because Philip, in this, you know, and Mark gives us what I would call maybe the Reader's Digest version of it, the overview of what's happening. But John really narrows it down and gives it to us. Philip says 200 pennyworth of bread isn't enough. But Andrew is one of those who, you know, he's not really outspoken too much. He's kind of a guy that I kind of think of as serving the Lord in the background and not really being out in the open too much and all that. But I like how this is. He says, there's a lad here. And of course, the written word, it's kind of hard to, say exactly how he says it. But I like to think of it like this. There's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? There were a lot of people. Thousands of people. Philip was being real. Andrew knew what he knew. He could have stayed quiet, not said a word, but he spoke up. He said, hey, there's a boy over here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are they among so many people? He wanted to make sure that Jesus knew about it. He knew something that we all need to remember. And if you don't get anything else out of this message, get this, because it's important. It's not the greatness of the gift that counts. Okay? It's not the greatness of the gift that counts. But rather, the greatness of God to whom it is given. You take a little bit, whatever you've got, what is it? What is it? What are they among so many? But you give it to the Lord and see what He'll do with it. You see, Andrew couldn't do much with it. That lad couldn't do much with it. But watch what Jesus does. Watch what Jesus does. You see, had that lad held on to it, it wouldn't have done any good. Had Andrew kept his mouth shut, it wouldn't have done no good. There's responsibility through and through all of this Even as we see this miracle, we see the compassion of Jesus, we see the responsibility of man. The responsibility of the lad, the responsibility of Andrew. Speak up. You don't have much. Whatever you got, see what God can do with it. And so, in Mark 6, He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. When He had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave to His disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided He among them all. And they did eat and were filled. That little bit, what are they among so many? Jesus took it, He blessed it, He distributed it, and it was enough to fill them. And not only that, they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. There were leftovers, because when God takes something, that not only is it enough, but there's more than enough. The blessings of God. Oh, how great that is. They did all, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Matthew chapter 14, lest you think that there were only 5,000. Look here in Matthew chapter 14. Verse 21, this is what Matthew records of this account. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. So there were over 5,000. There could have been upwards of 10,000 people there that day. Thousands of hungry people. And only 5 loaves, 2 fish. One little lad. The voice of Andrew said, here's what we've got. And see what Jesus did with that. That's God. That's God. Someone says, I've never seen anything like that. I don't know that the Bible's true. Well, I can tell you, I have seen that. God can take a little bit of money, make it go a long way. God can take a little bit, a little church, and do great things with it. I've seen it. God can take a little voice. Who am I? Who will listen to me? And use it in some way. He can do much with just a little. Just a little. There's an old song. I don't know how old it is, but the song says this: little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown. You can win it if you go in Jesus' name. That lad wasn't looking for fame or fortune. Andrew wasn't looking to get a name out of it. But you know who got all the glory out of that? Is Jesus. Our God. Our God. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forsake His own. That's a fact. And that still rings true today, even in the day that we live. We see it happen. How can a church this size host a Bible conference and feed so many? And yet we do. It's not because we're great. God takes a little and does great things. How can a church this small be able to do this and that and all whatever? God does great things through just a little. Because it's not about us. It's all about Him. And that's what we see there in Mark chapter 6. Hope this has been encouraging to you, as it has been to me. Lord willing, next week we'll move on into the rest of the chapter. But for now, let's dismiss with prayer. And